ప్రేమస్వరూపులారు,
ఎంబాడీమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashant Nilayam. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Today is March 22nd, 2018. The summer is on in Prashant Nilayam, and often during these times, Bhagwan would leave for Vrindavan and then subsequently go to Kodaikanal with a group of few students and guests. And then, only then, devotees would leave Puttaparthi and be saved from the rising, soaring temperatures. And now, once Bhagwan goes to Vrindavan or Kodaikanal, now Bhagwan, people can have his darshan in the cool and beautiful environment of Vrindavan or in the green and serene hill station of Kodaikanal. And the boys who would have the opportunity to travel with Bhagwan to Kodaikanal would be in the 17th heaven, because what a joy it is to share the same house, the same roof with the Lord. There would be sessions after sessions with Bhagwan in Sai Shruti, Bhagwan's abode in Kodaikanal. And what amazing moments there would be. Swami would every now and then be materializing something or the other from the times of Ramayana or Mahabharata and narrating those stories. Other times he would go out on drives and there would be picnics with the students. Every day he would give them something or the other. And in the sessions, which were so informal, Swami would just let his hair down, so to say, and recall his dearest devotees and so excitedly share their stories. Wow, you would be transported with Swami to those times and be touched by the depth of the love those souls had for Bhagwan. They have imprinted themselves in God's heart. I recall Swami very fondly remembering the Raj Mata of Navanagar, the exemplar devotee whose faith to Swami and the commitment to Bhagwan's mission is beyond parallel. Dear listeners, in the last two episodes of Outside Inside Deep Inside, I have been sharing with you the story of Mrs. Ratanlal, the diamond of a devotee who left her mortal coil in this month of March in 2017. Her life is full of life lessons on devotion, acceptance and surrender. And today we will continue that story. And even as I do that, I will also share with you the story of how the Raj Mata of Navanagar, Maharani Gulab Kunvarba, also came to Swami. Because both these stories, the story of Mrs. Ratanlal and the story of the Maharani of Navanagar, are connected. We have reached that point in Mrs. Ratanlal's story where both these tales intersect. So, in the last session, on March 15, 2018, I told you how Swami visited the house of Mr. and Mrs. Atal in Mumbai and the miracle cures that happened there, which instilled formidable faith in the heart of Mr. Ratanlal and many others. And then I went on to narrate how Mr. and Mrs. Ratanlal came to Prashant Nilayam subsequently, and how in spite of a million inconveniences here, they felt that they were in heaven. They were in bliss, so enraptured by the sweetness of Sai and also the amazing transformation of Mr. Ramchand, the vigilance officer from Delhi, who wanted to check if Bhagwan was materializing currency notes and what would be the repercussions and so on. So I narrated a lot of instances and the story of how Mr. and Mrs. Ratanlal came to Bhagwan. And then I told you how when Bhagwan went to Mumbai in March 1967, what happened then? And the way Bhagwan took his boys to this city and staged two plays. So we'll continue the story from there. So Bhagwan reached Mumbai on March 16, 1967, and he took along with him 60 students. The students staged two moving dramas in the Vallabhbhai Patel Stadium, both written and directed by Bhagwan himself, one on Radha Bhakti and the other on Sakubai. and the programs were a grand success. His Excellency, the Governor of Maharashtra, who was present for the dramas, he said, as he was congratulating the boys on their commendable performance, he said, "You are the emissaries of the great culture of this land." Swami addressed mammoth gatherings at King Circle and at the Vallabhbhai Stadium. And, you know, people who heard him, in their heart, the lamp of wisdom was lit, because Swami said, fire and water in conjunction produce steam, and this steam can haul heavy wagons along. Swami was referring to the steam engines. And similarly, Swami said, karma and upasana, action, the path of action and worship, together produce jnana, wisdom. And once you have wisdom, then Swami says, just like steam can haul heavy engines, heavy wagons along, heavy bogies along, similarly, jnana, through jnana, you will be able to carry heavy loads of the consequences of thoughts, deeds and words of many previous births, many previous careers on earth. And then Bhagwan emphasized a lot on the students, and Swami said, like the tiger which refuses grass, however hungry it may be, man must refuse to descend to the low levels of scandal, sadism and miserliness. The greed and selfishness that are infecting this country are tragedies for humanity, because India has the role of guiding and leading mankind to the goal of self-realization. And then looking at the youth, Swami said, youth in India are today growing up in the hothouse of faction and passion, not as in the past in the cool bowers of reverence and humility. Elders indulge in fratricidal fights, vengeful litigations, corrupt means of earning money and cutthroat competition. And their lower behavior in the home, in the village, in the clubs, in the civic bodies, in the legislatures, in all walks of life, set standards for the youth. Swami was also referring to how the people are not setting good examples for the youth. And Swami said, Indian culture, which is really international in its outlook, has to be taught and lived in the schools and colleges of India. Only then India and the world can live in happiness and in contentment. And again, addressing the youth, he said, you all are my limbs. You are nourished by me. You constitute the Sai body. Sai will send you sustenance wherever you are, whatever your function, provided you give Sai the things Sai considers desirable, provided you live a life of virtue, faith, discipline, humility and reverence. It's so fantastic, Swami is telling the youth that you constitute my body. Bhagwan also referred to the Sevadal and said the members of the Sri Sathya Sai Sevadal must be saturated with devotion to God and service to man. These are like the starting and the end point of the privilege of the pilgrimage called life. The Sevadal must be eager to serve and be able to serve intelligently, sincerely and gladly. So this is how the trip in 1967 March in Mumbai went on. Swami also emphasized the establishment of hostels where students can imbibe the disciplines of yoga and sadhana along with pursuing the normal secular studies, and it should happen in an atmosphere of silence and serenity. And even as Bhagwan was speaking from the podiums, from the stages, he would always come down and, you know, he'd go and grace the sick, the old, the mentally challenged, the socially outcast and so on. He also went to houses of some devotees. He graciously responded and sanctified their call and their homes. And sometimes these homes were often on the upper floors of liftless mansions. We are talking about 60s. But Swami happily climbed up and, you know, descended many stairs a day. He was just happy going to any extent to confer joy, confer bliss. And it is on this occasion that he also visited the house of Mrs. Ratanlal. And the way this happened is very interesting. In fact, it was Mrs. Ratanlal who was instrumental in getting the stage done for the drama in the Vallabhbhai Patel Stadium. Bhagwan was to speak in the stadium on 16th March, and on 15th, Swami spoke to Mrs. Ratanlal. And taking that opportunity, Mrs. Ratanlal asked Bhagwan, "Swami, can I make a stage?" And Swami said, "Okay, go on." And she started making the stage. She was also preparing food, cooking food at home and bringing for Swami and his guests to Dharmakshetra, where Bhagwan was residing then. And when she started making the stage, a senior devotee close to Bhagwan somehow felt that the stage is not proper, and who is she to do the stage? And so even as she was doing the stage, there were a lot of obstacles created. She would make the stage and the next to the stage would be pulled down in the next session. So this happened a couple of times, and this was testing her patience and resilience. And finally, she goes to Bhagwan and says, "Swami, can you please tell this gentleman to allow me to make the stage?" And when she says that to Bhagwan, Swami laughs. And then Swami calls the gentleman and Swami says, "What she's doing is correct. Why don't you allow her? I have given her permission to make the stage." So when Bhagwan gives us, and even as Bhagwan was giving this instruction to that senior person and telling her that, "Yes, you can go on, make the stage," Swami also told Mrs. Ratanlal, "You know what? I will come to your home today for dinner." This was 12 o'clock, 12 noon, and the stage was being prepared for the next day's function. And now Swami is telling Mrs. Ratanlal, "I'm going to come to your house for dinner." And Mrs. Ratanlal was wondering, how is she going to make all the arrangements, because she was already so occupied preparing the stage, preparing the stadium, and also cooking every day. She was running pillar to post every day. She was completely occupied running between Dharmakshetra and our home and trying to make all these arrangements for boys and his Swami's boys and his guests. And now Swami says he's going to come to her home too. And she, for 5 minutes, she became still. She didn't know how to respond. And she said, "Okay, Swami." And at that point in time, you know, there were no seva dalas. The satsangya organization had not yet formed. So she didn't know what to do. She just called a few devotee friends. And she just prayed. She just prayed, picked up courage. And even as she was leaving this Dharmakshetra that day, she picked up vegetables. And her immediate thing was to make snacks and tea for all the people who are working at the stadium. That she has to do by 5 o'clock in the evening. And when she did that, she went there. And there were few of her friends there. And she said, "Why are you so worried?" And she said that, "Nothing, you know, Swami has told he's going to come to my house now in a few hours, and I don't know how I'm going to do this. I love flowers, but there are no flowers. I'm not able to find those kind of flowers, and I don't know who can help me." And these two people come forward and they say, "Don't worry. Don't worry, Mrs. Ratanlal. You just give us the car keys and we will do everything else." And that's it. After an hour, after she has finished her work in the Vallabhbhai Patel Stadium, serving all the guests, she goes back home and she can't imagine what has happened to her home. Her home is completely transformed. It's not just flowers. There are like elaborate floral decorations. There are even rangolis in front of her home. Everything is so beautiful, so glorious, so tastefully created. It's like someone has just come and a magic wand, waved a magic wand, and everything has changed. She couldn't believe what she was seeing. And immediately, that is how, you know, Bhagwan, when he gives us a responsibility, he also gives us the ability. We can see this ability, we can live up to this opportunity only when we have that faith. We have to take that test with complete faith. They say when you have little faith, you can go to heaven. But when you have great faith, heaven will come to you. And that is what Mrs. Ratanlal experienced on that day. All we have to do at any point, and that is what is the story of Mrs. Ratanlal's life with Bhagwan too. She did so many things for Bhagwan. At every opportunity, there were so many obstacles. But Swami kept giving it higher responsibilities. And she lived up to it with greater faith in Bhagwan's love, in his grace, in his power. And that is how her life became a life which did not know how not to think of Bhagwan, did not know how not to experience the grace of Bhagwan. Everything starts with faith. Once the light of faith is lit in our hearts, after that, we never know the amount of strength that gets poured into our being. In fact, I'm reminded of this very beautiful song, Itni Shakti Hame Dena Data. You know, we are praying to the Lord, ki man mein vishwas, asking for that vishwas. Itni Shakti Hame Dena Data. That's how the song goes. And let me play a few lines of the song because it is so appropriate here. Here we are asking for the Lord to fill us with the Shakti of that bhakti, that shakti of that shraddha.
Itni shakti hame dena data, man ka vishwas kamzor hona. Itni shakti hame dena data, मन का विश्वास कमजोर होना. हम चले नेक रस्ते पे, हमसे भूल कर भी कोई भूल होना. कितनी शक्ति हमें देना दाता, मन का विश्वास कमजोर होना. हम चले नेक रस्ते पे, हमसे भूल कर भी कोई भूल होना. इतनी शक्ति हमें देना दाता, मन का विश्वास कमजोर होना.
So, itni shakti hame dena data, man ke vishwas kamzor hona. So that is, we are praying to the Lord that give us that strength so that our faith never ever weakens. So what also happened in this trip when Bhagwan visited Mumbai in March 1967 is that Rajmata of Navanagar also saw Swami for the first time. And the way it happened is through Mrs. Ratanlal. She called up Mrs. Ratanlal and said, can I have an audience with Swami? Now, Mrs. Ratanlal in those days had a boutique which sold expensive jewelry, precious stones and clothes. And her clients consisted of all the high net worth individuals and the royalty. And the Rajmata was one of her biggest customers, biggest clients, and the daughter of the Rajmata also was a very close friend of Mrs. Ratanlal. And this meeting of the Rajmata with Bhagwan, for which Mrs. Ratanlal was instrumental, was the turning point, was a point where it completely changed the direction of Rajmata's life. In fact, from later on, as we know, she became one of the original members of the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust when it was founded in 1972, and later Bhagwan nominated her to the University Trust too, as well as to the World Council of Sathya Sai Seva Organization. So all these started in March 1967, when she first time saw Bhagwan. But before this, so much had happened. So much had unfolded with her husband and in her family in preparation of this moment. So let me go back and share some details of that story, because that is a very, very moving tale, how this entire drama unfolded. As many are aware, prior to independence, India consisted of a number of small, medium and big princely states, and it was ruled by kings, by rajas and maharajas, and later the Britishers ruled over India, but these institutions of these princely states remained, though with much less power and influence. And after India attained independence from the British, all the princely states were merged into the Indian Republic. So the princely state of Navanagar in the present state of Gujarat was one such kingdom. And Maharaja Shri Digvijay Singh Ji, popularly known as Jam Sahib, was the successor to the throne of late Maharaja Shri Ranjit Singh Ji of Navanagar. The interesting thing about this kingdom was, even after India attained independence and the princely states were no more sovereign rulers of those areas, but the people were so happy with the love of the king, with the amount of work that the Maharaja and Maharani had done for all their subjects, that they continue to consider this king as the Raj Pramukh, as the leader, as the leader. So he was still the de facto leader of that region. And he was also very keenly involved in the authentic reconstruction of the historic Shiva temple in Gujarat, the Somnath temple. So because of all these regions, the people of that area of Saurashtra, they loved the king, they loved Maharaja Shri Digvijay Singh Ji. And the first time Jam Sahib, or this Maharaja Digvijay Singh Ji, heard about Bhagwan was through a friend in 1958. Now, at that point in time, the Maharaja was very sick and they had their own guru. He was a realized soul and they would never do anything without the consent of this Guruji. And this friend who had heard about Bhagwan and informed Maharaja had also told him that Sri Satya Sai Baba had granted him a vision of Lord Krishna. And Maharaja was very touched by that, because is there someone on this earth who can grant the vision of Lord Krishna? And this friend also gave the Maharaja a copy of the first volume of Satyam Shivam Sundaram. The Maharani read it, but for some reason the Maharani was not very impressed. She thought that probably somebody is eulogizing Sri Satya Sai Baba and saying that this man has extraordinary powers, but who knows, maybe all this is publicity. So she just read the book, but she did not think about it much. Some years went by, and now the Maharaja's health deteriorated further. And the Maharani was looking for solutions everywhere to ease the pain of Maharaja. And at this point in time, there was this gentleman called Mr. Chudasama. He told that there is Dr. Gadia, who is a Sai devotee, and he will be able to arrange Sai bhajans for them in their palace, and maybe that could comfort the Jam Sahib, the Maharaja. And Dr. Gadia was duly contacted, and he arranged a bhajan session, and the Maharaja and the Maharani were very happy with the bhajan session. They felt so much peace. They appreciated that effort of Dr. Gadia, and in fact, they asked for a second bhajan session, and that was arranged for the following week, on the following week, Tuesday. That was to be on the 1st of February 1965. But even before that could happen, suddenly there was a call for Dr. Gadia from Puttaparthi. He got this message that Swami is asking him to come to Puttaparthi. And 3 days later, the Jam Sahib became critically ill. There was a gallbladder stone, and that was giving him such intense pain that he was getting just restless. He was unable to bear that pain. The doctors were not able to do anything to ease that pain. No medication helped. And they were saying probably surgery is the only option. We are talking about 60s. So we didn't have those kind of advanced medical procedures then to ease the pain immediately. And the Maharaja was becoming very frail and the Maharani didn't know what to do. She didn't think it was a wise option to move the Maharaja to Mumbai for the operation, because the Maharaja was a very well-built person. And she was not sure if he can really take that journey. And the Maharaja was in so much constant pain that, you know, that the Maharani, she was clueless. She was only watching her husband in helpless condition. And in fact, the suffering became so unbearable that one day the Maharaja called the doctors and said, you know, if you cannot do anything, can you please let me die? You know, can you just do something so that I leave the body? Because I'm unable to bear this much of torture. And in the meanwhile, the Maharani sent for their Guruji, who always was their person they went to whenever there was a problem. And the Guruji, for some reason, was away. He was not in his station. He came 3 days later. So on the fourth day, when the Guru Maharaj came to Jamnagar, he had gone to a trip to many surrounding villages. And now, when the Guruji came and he saw the condition of the Maharaja, and the Maharaj, then this Guru asked for some milk and fruit. And then the Maharani thought perhaps the last moments of Maharaja has come. But suddenly, this Guru did something very unusual. He was sitting on a cushion and there was nothing below that cushion or around that cushion. But unexpectedly, from as if out of nowhere, he brought out a rolled sheet of paper. And when he opened, that was a photograph of Sri Satya Sai Baba. And this Guru then asked the Maharani to place this photo next to Maharaja's bed and said, we must pray to Sri Satya Sai Baba from today. We have to do worship. We have to offer flowers and pay our reverence. And she also asked that Jam Sahib should personally offer his prayers. And after they kept that photograph next to his bed, for some reason, the Maharaja started feeling better. And surprise after surprise followed. The next evening, there was a post, and in it, there was a letter from one Mr. Dikshit. And this Dikshit said that he is writing this on the personal instruction of Sri Satya Sai Baba. And the message said that the Maharani should not worry about her husband's illness. All that has to be done is to apply vibhuti every day on the area of the pain. And that packet of vibhuti came through that post with this message. And the letter said, from Bhagwan, said that very soon Maharaja will be fine. The Maharani was very taken aback with the turn of events. And how, I mean, she, first of all, when the Guru Maharaj came, from out of nowhere, he produced this picture of Sri Satya Sai Baba and told that we should pray to him. And she has never ever mentioned about Satya Sai Baba, or the Maharaj also had never before talked about Satya Sai Baba. And the strangest of all, the next day, again, this mysterious post comes and there is vibhuti in there. And she was wondering, how does this Baba, who is supposed to be in Puttaparthi, know about what is happening in our family? But the Guruji was not surprised at all. In fact, his Guruji said that he was expecting something like this to happen. And so that is what they did. From the next day onwards, they applied the vibhuti on his stomach. And within 24 hours of the application of vibhuti, there was such great improvement that the pain completely subsided. And in a week, the Maharaja was completely free of all trauma, of all semblance of pain. In fact, recalling those moments, the Rajmata says, my husband was a changed man after that. He lived for exactly a year after that day's crisis. But that was such a peaceful period. It was like a gift from Baba to him. And he became completely religious and spiritual during that year. After he was cured, it was as if something was cured in him, in his physical and mental and psychological space too. Because it was a change that altered him so completely that he became an altogether different man. It was a change. The Maharani said, I had never been able to bring about with all my earlier efforts, but Sri Sathya Sai Baba had done it just like that with that vibhuti. And when the Maharaja recovered, the Maharani was happy to arrange for scriptures to be read to him, because the Maharaja had become very religious now. And the Maharaja also had become a very calm person. He had become a very happy person, and he only longed to see Bhagwan. And so efforts were made to arrange a meeting between him and Bhagwan when Swami was in Pune and Mumbai, but that somehow didn't work out at that point in time. And meanwhile, what happened was war broke out between India and Pakistan. We are talking about the period April 1965 and September 1965. You know, during that period, there were a lot of skirmishes that took place in the Indo-Pakistan border. And finally, there was this war in September 1965. It was a 17-day war that caused huge casualties on both sides. And in fact, it witnessed the largest engagement of armored vehicles and the largest tank battle since World War II. So that is how huge this battle was, this war was. And when the war broke out, Jamnagar was bombed and it was heavily damaged. In fact, Radio Pakistan announced that the Jam Sahib's palace in Jamnagar has been razed to the ground and there were no survivors of the royal family. This is what the radio reported, but the truth was very different. Several unexploded shells were found within the immediate grounds of the palace. Amazingly, not a single bomb or shell had hit the Jamnagar palace, despite three consecutive air raids on it and a shower of shells aimed directly at it. In fact, Swami himself sent message to Indian Air Force that he would protect them. And this is what actually filled the Air Force officers with courage and boosted their morale and augmented their sense of duty. In fact, so many bombs dropped by Pakistanis missed their targets on the Jamnagar airfield. And in fact, the bombs fell helter-skelter and often on the other side of the border. Swami also actually appeared before many Indian pilots and members of their families. In fact, he appeared before the wife of one of these Air Force officers and blessed her and told, I have come here to bless. She heard Bhagwan's voice. And just as this was happening, at that very moment, a shell which would have shattered her husband into pieces just fell 100 yards away. I mean, that is how Bhagwan saved so many people during that Indo-Pakistan war in 1965, and also the life, the property and everything of the Maharaja and Maharani of Jamnagar. So after the war subsided, the Jam Sahib wanted to meet Bhagwan, and now he somehow wanted to come to Puttaparthi. And at this point in time, his eyesight also was becoming bad and he was very weak. And Puttaparthi in those days did not have any of those conveniences which would help someone from the royalty to live comfortably. Also, the Maharaja had a huge body And it was really very difficult for him to sit down, but somehow he reached Puttaparthi, undergoing all the inconveniences and trouble. And once he was here, somehow he sat in front of the interview room with a chair, and Swami spoke to him with lot of love. And Swami said that, "You go, I will come." In fact, the Maharaja was so happy because Swami said that our connection has existed for very long. I have known you for any number of years. And Swami said, "You are building the Somnath temple. I know. You have been such a good king. You have been such a great and compassionate ruler for all your subjects." And then the Maharaja asked Swami if Swami would restore his eyesight, because he was only becoming blind and losing his eyesight every successive day. And Swami said, "I very well know your love for Somnath and for Dwarkadhish, for the Lord of Dwarka, Krishna. I know, and I know why you want your eyes back. I know that you want to see Somnath. I know you want to see the Lord of Dwarka." And Swami said, "But for that, do you need outer vision? Why do you worry about outer vision? It is the inner vision that is important. You will have their darshan. That is my responsibility." Swami assures Jam Sahib that it is my responsibility to give you that darshan. So that is how the Raja returns to Jamnagar. And the Raja also invites Bhagwan to come to Jamnagar. And Swami says, "I will be with you in your palace at the right time." So with these assurances, Swami sends the Maharaja back to Jamnagar. And the Maharaja was so completely transformed after this meeting that his mental state completely changed. Earlier, he would be short-tempered. Any little thing would irritate him. Even a small change in a diet or routine would upset him. But now he was completely composed and nothing would affect him. He was almost like reaching a state of samadhi. As Swami says, samadhi, whatever happens, you just accept it with a smile and nothing bothers you. He only loved to listen to the scriptures, and that is how he spent his time after he left Prashantinilayam. And then came the morning of 3rd of February 1966. At 2 o'clock in the morning, on this day, the Jam Sahib began to cough and he was not able to sleep. The Maharani tried to put him to bed again, but he simply refused to lie down. He walked to an armchair and he sat there quite contentedly. He was only thinking about the time that he had spent with Bhagwan. And after a while, even as he was sitting there in the chair, completely rested and contented and very happy, the Maharani felt that he had become still. The Maharani touched him and there was no response. The Maharani felt his pulse and he found no pulse. And immediately she summoned the doctors. The doctors came and they too saw that there was no pulse in the Raja's body. But for somehow, some reason, there was still life, because they could see that his limbs above the chest were somehow there was life in them. It was as if, even though there is no pulse, but there was life in him. It was like life was sticking on to him. There was some glow on his face. There was something happening. It's like the soul had not flown yet, even though the body had suffered a massive heart attack. That's what the doctor said. and they said that he should lie down. But Maharaja would simply not lie down. And you know, Maharani and the doctors, they knew that something very strange was happening, because the Maharaja appeared to be caught up in an extraordinary force. It was like some other force was just filling him with energy, and he was moving, and he was speaking, he was seeing, he was experiencing something that they had never, that was so unusual. And he was so much in peace. And there was no pressure in the body, no blood pressure, no pulse, but he was alive and he was at peace. This miracle stunned the doctors. It was as if the Jam Sahib was waiting for the right moment to go. Someone was there looking after his soul. And after a few moments, at 4:30, during Brahma Muhurtam, the Jam Sahib finally left the earth. And in death, he was supremely peaceful. In fact, the Maharani says that, "I felt Baba had come as promised to take him away. It was such a beautiful way of reaching the ultimate destination. His body and face were in a perfect state of serenity. It was Baba who was with him at that time. Who else can it be? It was God who came to him at that right time to give him the divine darshan." Because Baba had told the Maharaja, "I will come and give you darshan at the right time." So that was the moment when Bhagwan came and took him for a darshan of Somnath and Dwarkadhish, and granted him that moksha. Only after that, his soul merged in him completely. She says, all of us felt that there was a superhuman presence, and what serenity on his face. In fact, what also happened at this moment is, even after the Raja left the body, his death was not announced. It was not told to anyone in public. And that night, suddenly, as the Rajmata was there in her bedroom, she heard the noise of a roll fall on her lampshade. And curiously, when she opened, she saw that it was a big picture of Bhagwan. And she was stupefied, looking for how did this appear from nowhere, this picture come into her room. And then she receives a telegram, and this telegram is sent to her by her niece, who was in Prashantinilayam at that point in time. And this niece says that she is sending this telegram on the instance of Sri Satya Sai Baba. And in the telegram it says, Bhagwan says, "Convey my blessings to the Maharani. She was very much worried as to what had happened to the soul of Maharaja. I was with him in the last moments. I took him to Somnath as per his last wish and granted him moksha." So this is how Maharani heard the message that Bhagwan conveyed through Nanda Kumari, her niece, who was also the princess of Kutch, and they were related. And this confirmed in her about Bhagwan. This is how she got introduced to Swami. And during the last rites of Maharaja, she invited Mrs. Ratanlal, because as I said, they were friends. And on that occasion, when she saw Mrs. Ratanlal and knowing that Mrs. Ratanlal knows Sri Sathya Sai Baba and visited Bhagwan, she just asked her to talk about Swami. So from 5:30 that day, 5:30 in the evening till 9:30, they were only talking about Bhagwan. But she still had doubts because she had her own Guruji, and you know, the gurus can have some power. So is he some guru with some powers, or who is he? She had all her doubts still, because she had heard that some of these gurujis can put people under maya and all that. But after she heard all that Mrs. Ratanlal had to say about Bhagwan, that is when she thought, I have to see Swami. And when Bhagwan visited Mumbai in March 1967, which happened a few days later, that is when she calls up Mrs. Ratanlal and she says, I want to see Baba and you have to take me to Baba. And Mrs. Ratanlal at that point in time says that, you know, I need to check with Bhagwan, because I can go just like that for darshan, you know, I can wait in the crowd, in the public, but it cannot be so with you. I'll have to take his permission so that you can go straight to where Bhagwan is giving darshan, and you don't have to wait, and it is easy and comfortable for you. And so she goes to Bhagwan and she tells that, Swami, Mrs. This Rajmata wants to see you. And Swami says, okay, please ask her to come the next day. And that is how she comes. And when the Rajmata, in fact, at that point in time, there was so much crowd in near Bhagwan's residence. The Rajmata very humorously, in fact, describes that meeting with Bhagwan, because there was so much of crowd. She says that it was good elbow work, because there was a swarm of people pushing and shoving each other to just to have Bhagwan's darshan. And Swami actually was seeing these group of royal ladies being pushed about, and Swami at that point in time sends a devotee volunteer to bring the Rajmata to her. And even though they go near Swami, Swami immediately does not talk to them. Swami is very busy with the devotees. And you know how Bhagwan plays with them. And the Rajmata's companions, they say, you know, let's move, let's leave, because, you know, we have come here, but Baba is so busy. But the Rajmata says, no, Baba had said that he will talk to us, and we have come and we will wait. You know how Bhagwan tests people, he tests their patience, their perseverance. So that is how they were waiting for Bhagwan, and it was late in the afternoon. And finally, Swami called the Rajmata, and when he called the Rajmata, Swami also asked Mrs. Ratanlal and told, you sit next to the Rajmata. And she said, no, Swami, you have to talk to her in private. Swami said, no, I want you to sit next to her. So that is how, you know, Mrs. Ratanlal was so instrumental in bringing the Rajmata to Bhagwan. And that one interaction that she had with Swami, that changed her everything, because Swami started telling her everything about her life, about her woes. Because after the Raja passed away, the Maharani became the Rajmata of Navanagar, because her son became the Yuvraj. Her son, who was the Yuvraj, he became the Raja. Her son was Sri Shatrushalya Singh Ji. Shatrushalya Singh Ji ascended the throne in April 1966, and when that happened, the Maharani became the Rajmata of Navanagar, and the Maharani was very worried about the behavior of her son, and she used to be always thinking about what would happen to their subjects and to the ruling of all their people, because she was not so happy with the way her son was ruling the kingdom. And that is when Swami tells the Rajmata that you don't have to be worried about your son. From today, I am your son. Swami says, please don't worry about anything. So that is how Swami comforted her. And that was the time of her life when She felt that she has touched the lotus feet of the Lord. In fact, after that, she was the one who told everyone that Swami is nothing and nobody other than Lord Shiva. She was the one who told everyone, don't get deluded by this Maya or the Natak that Swami plays. He is very good at that, but don't get deluded. Swami is Shiva. He is Sakshat Parameshwara Swarupa. This is what the Maharani, the Rajmata, would tell everyone. And that is how her journey began. And in fact, there are many instances later on about how her faith in Bhagwan became so sturdy. And after that meeting with Bhagwan in March 1967, Swami tells her that, I am now going to Jamnagar. After she saw Bhagwan, she requested Swami also to come to Jamnagar. And that is how Swami on 27th of March left from Mumbai to Jamnagar by plane. He went to Saurashtra. So this is how the stories of Mrs. Ratanlal and the Rajmata of Navanagar connect. But before I go on, I think I need to share some 2-3 very, very important events that happened in the life of Rajmata, because these were moments which confirmed in her who Swami is. Because even though she had seen now so much of Swami, but once in a while there were those doubts, because one reason was she had her own guru, and at point in time, many point in time, she used to think that, you know, is it okay for her to now follow another holy man, because all her life she were going to her Guruji, and this Guruji, even though this Guruji is who told her about Bhagwan. So one day when she was in Puttaparthi and there was a celebration going on in full swing, and suddenly she got a phone call, and when she returned back to where she was seated, she saw that the person on the stage was not Sri Satya Sai Baba, because she saw that who was the person who was giving discourse on the stage was not Bhagwan. She saw the face of her own Guru Maharaj. And she thought that probably she is hallucinating. So she pinches herself and she asks someone, you know, whom are you seeing? And they said, no, it is Sai Baba. But when she saw, it was the vision of her Guru Maharaj. And that was one confirmation to her that it is all the same. It is the Guru which brought her to Bhagwan. And she understood that, you know, the bodies are different, but ultimately everything merges into the holy persona of Sri Satya Sai Baba. And that's why the Rajmata then said that it is better to go step by step in your convictions. Once you gain faith, never doubt or waver. There are bound to be tests on the way when you tread the spiritual path, because strange are the tests and the ways of the divine, but you must accept that and continue in your faith. You should not let trials and tribulations discourage you or make you give up the opportunity of that unique experience. She also had another very significant experience. In those days, Bhagwan used to do Vibhuti Abhishekam. We know on Dasara days when Swami used to pour Vibhuti from an empty pot onto the idol of Shirdi Sai Baba. And once she thought that probably Swami had cramped the pot of Vibhuti, pot with full of Vibhuti beforehand. And, you know, as Swami was rotating his hand, it was just falling. It was just, Vibhuti was getting loosened. And it was falling dramatically as a cascade onto the silver idol of Shirdi Sai Baba. But one Dasara, when she saw Vibhuti Abhishekam and she was sitting very close, she saw that as Bhagwan's hand was churning this pot, this inverted pot, suddenly she heard this tinkling sounds, and she saw precious stones and bits of gold and silver falling out of the pot along with the ash. In fact, it was not only her, everyone saw that. And the moment Bhagwan removed his hand, the outpouring stopped. But the moment he put his right hand, then these jewels started falling along with the Vibhuti. And this amazing shower continued till the Shirdi Baba idol was completely covered. This shook the Rajmata. She could not believe that so many precious stones and metals could have somehow been hidden in the pot with the vibhuti. And in her mind, she asked forgiveness from Bhagwan for doubting him. And even as she asked for this forgiveness, Swami from the stage looked at her. It was that look with full of meaning. It was almost Swami was saying through his eyes, "So, what do you say now?" After that incident, the Rajmata was so confirmed in Bhagwan's divinity that she dedicated herself completely to his mission. As she says, such is Bhagwan's greatness that when he is with us, he makes it a point to be one of us, to be like one of us, like one of the members of the family, so that we never feel overwhelmed by his superior powers. But it is this compassion and this simplicity that makes him so touching, so endearing. He has limitless power, yet he jokes and laughs like a little boy. He enjoys not only creating things out of thin air, but doing all the work himself, personally planning and supervising projects. In fact, all these facets of Bhagwan enraptured the Rajmata, and that's how, as I said, she became a pillar of the Satya Sai mission, becoming a part of the trust and making huge contributions in the building of so many institutions in Prashant Nilayam. In fact, she always called Bhagwan as Kanhaiya, as her Krishna, and she always treated Bhagwan also as her son. In fact, when she left her mortal coil, Bhagwan said, "Now who will fight with me?" This is what Bhagwan said. "Now who is going to play and fight with me?" That is the endearing relationship that the Rajmata had with Bhagwan. And the person instrumental in bringing the Rajmata to Bhagwan was Mrs. Ratanlal. So that is how, you know, Bhagwan has shaped the life of Mrs. And all this happened at a point in the life of Mrs. Ratanlal, when her faith was completely confirmed. She was the one who told that, you know, it is not anyone else, it is God, you have to come and see. And that is how this transformation, you know, Jyoti se Jyoti jalate chalo, Swami uses one light to light another light, while he is that eternal effulgence of light. And just like Swami told the Maharaja that you don't need the outer vision, what you need is the inner vision. I told you earlier how Bhagwan lit that lamp of inner vision in the first darshan that Mrs. Ratanlal had. And then he did the same now with the Maharaja and with the Maharani. Every time he's trying to lit that light of lamp. Because as Swami says, our journey is the light is in me. Once that light comes in us, then you are in the light and then you become the light. That is the journey of Mrs. Ratanlal. That is the journey of every devotee. And that is the journey of the Rajmata of Navanagar too. So dear listeners, let us pray to Bhagwan that, you know, he lights that lamp of love, that lamp of unquestioning faith in our life. Because once that happens, then miracles begin to happen in our lives. We'll continue this story in the next episodes. There is so much more to Mrs. Ratanlal's journey with Bhagwan. Perhaps I have to pick up just a few, because otherwise it just goes on and on. Her story with Bhagwan is so filled with such amazing lessons, because she's undergone fantastic tests of Bhagwan and come out of it very strongly. So in the coming episodes, we will dwell on some of these fantastic episodes from our life, which are lessons for us, which are training points for us as we walk on this path of becoming one with the light. Thank you so much, and see you next for the next episode of Outside Inside Deep Inside next week, as we continue this beautiful story of a diamond of a devotee, Mrs. Ratanlal. Thank you so much. Sairam.